The Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Well, it's Mother's Day. And in church communities, pastors every year face the prospect of preaching on the subject of mothers on this day. Now, we are under no obligation to do so, because it is, after all, a secular holiday. And the subject of mothers can be, for many of us, difficult. And the subject rarely fits in with the day's reading for those of us who use the common lectionary. And since it is not required, and it's complicated, most of us prefer to avoid it. Well, I ain't most pastors. First, we do need to acknowledge and consider the problematic image of the ideal mother, because she doesn't exist. Because mothers are human beings who make mistakes, sometimes bigger mistakes than others, and some of these mistakes leave scars on children that can take a lifetime to heal. There are women everywhere who dream of being mothers and having children, but for one reason or another are unable to. Many women experience shame and isolation after a miscarriage or multiple miscarriages, or those who aren't allowed to adopt. Some women may have been forced by law to give birth to children they are unable to care for, or for pregnancies resulting from rape or incest. Some women struggling with poverty or addiction have been forced to give up their children and live with the pain and failure and loss. Some women choose not to have children and are culturally conditioned to feel that they are less than women for doing so. Many children are brought up by their grandmothers. There are single mothers who are frequently politically and publicly shamed for needing help in the form of welfare or food stamps. Mothers of children with Down syndrome or other disability detected during pregnancy are sometimes shamed for not terminating the pregnancy. Then there are lesbian couples who are told that a child growing up in a home with two mothers is an unhealthy environment. Equally, these same critics say a home with two fathers is equally unhealthy, so there seems to be a numbers game in the quest for the ideal mother. I've been catching up on the series Pose, which I recommend, which features the phenomena of chosen families, or house mothers and fathers of runaway and castaway LGBTQ children and teens in cities like New York, providing a home and community for those whose blood relatives have given up on them and thrown them away. In the Mother's Day episode of that show in season one, the character Pray Tell says, "That's the burden of having a parent. They haven't a clue what they're doing, and every mistake they make chips away at us. And when we get older, we have to glue the pieces back together. And we can blame them, but here's the thing, they're human and they make mistakes." Whatever our experience, we are who we are because of our mothers, and maybe a little bit in spite of them. The problematic nature of the ideal mother also makes it difficult to embrace the maternal images of God. Because if we're being honest, God doesn't always live up to our expectations. There are days that I sense that God is ignoring me or looking the other way when I go through what I perceive to be unnecessary trials. I've sometimes wondered where God is when I feel alone or when I've been hurt. It's not always easy to sense when God is present in times of loss or pain or when others are attacking me or people that I love. Since the beginning of Russia's aggressive invasion of Ukraine, we have prayed together for peace and for the protection of civilians. Yet the violence continues in Ukraine and in many places across the world. And children are forced to flee into foreign lands, sometimes to be put away, to turned away, or put in cages, separated from their mothers, scared and alone. Can they feel the presence of their divine mother? But I am comforted by the words today of Jesus. That my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. I read an article this week about the role a mother's voice plays in the development of the brain. It is reported that beginning in the womb, a fetus is developing auditory pathways, sense the sounds and vibrations of its mother. Soon after birth, a child can identify its mother's voice and will work to hear her voice over unfamiliar female voices. A mother's voice can soothe the child in stressful situations, reducing levels of cortisol, the stress hormone, and increasing levels of oxytocin, the social bonding hormone. Scientists have even traced the power of a mother's voice to an infant's brain. A mother's voice activates the anterior prefrontal cortex, don't ask me where that is, and the left posterior temporal region more strongly than an unfamiliar voice, priming the infant for the specialized task of speech processing. It is now scientifically proven that most of us carry a mother's voice in the neural patterns of our brain. Bedtime stories, dinnertime conversations, and the chatter that we heard before birth identify us uniquely, as surely as the fingerprint, enabling emotional development and social communication in childhood and probably throughout our entire lives. Wow! In our reading today, the subject in question is the identity of Jesus as the Messiah. As it reads in John's Gospel, Jesus is very forthcoming and direct about his identity, but the religious leaders cannot take him at his word because he does not fit the mold of their idea of a Messiah. After all, he healed on the Sabbath. He touched the unclean. He consorted with sinners and tax collectors and prostitutes. He is not the divine warrior they hoped for who would raise up armies to destroy their Roman oppressors and lead the Hebrew people into military triumph. Jesus retorts that the evidence of his identity is accessible only in the recognizability of his voice. The voice of God, like the voice of a mother, has the power to soothe, to guide, to aid us in processing the world around us. It is so familiar, it is as close as a fingerprint to our hearts that we belong to our Creator. These are not things that we can scrutinize and study or judge based on what we think the perfect Messiah, the perfect God, the perfect mother should look like. The idea of Jesus shatters all expectations and breaks down all walls. Feminist theologian Lynn Japinga wrote that in the second century, Clement of Alexandria mixed his metaphors in his description of Christians nursing at the breast of God the Father. Medieval mystic Meister Eckhart described God's activity. What does God do all day long? God gives birth. From all eternity, God lies on a maternity bed giving birth. And through these sentiments and this type of maternal imagery for God, it rarely makes its way into modern Christian discourse, but they are metaphors that have existed in our faith since the beginning. Because gender politics aside, God is the source of all love and life and new birth. And while God is never explicitly called mother anywhere in Scripture, the sentiment is everywhere. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all call God El Shaddai, which means the breasted one. The prophet Hosea likens God to a mother bear who will violently protect her cubs. Isaiah repeatedly compares God to a mother who will comfort Jerusalem as like her child and will never forget or abandon any child to whom she has given birth. A few weeks ago, we read Jesus compare himself to a mother hen guarding her nest. The other metaphor in this text and in the previous chapters of John are of the sheep and the shepherd, the vulnerable and the guardian. It should not feel as revolutionary as it does to say so boldly that God is on our side today, in the present, that eternal life in Christ is a time we do not have to wait for that we might experience now. I shared with you a while back my childhood image of heaven, the place where we might run up to Jesus and give him a hug, which I got to admit is still the best imagery of heaven that I've ever heard anywhere else. But in this metaphor of being able to recognize Jesus by his voice as a child knows their mother, as a sheep knows its shepherd and follow it, makes me feel as if I am following a path into the arms of my Creator right now. That whenever or wherever we are lost, we may not only be found, but be embraced and loved and comforted and be protected from the wolves. There's a great line in the movie The Crow. Mother is the name of God on the lips and hearts of all children. Now, not everyone is called to be a mother, but we are all children of mothers. And whether our mother is of our blood or is an adoptive mother, a reluctant mother, or a chosen mother, she is human, she made mistakes, and we know her voice. And in moments of doubt and trial and times that we feel abandoned, our brains are wired to be guided by our imprinted memory of her that we may be comforted and assured. No mother can prevent their child from experiencing pain or heartache or danger or abandonment. And no mother wants these things for her child, yet these things are sadly inevitable. But she is present, like the one who gives us life and eternal nourishment, like the one who fiercely protects her cubs, like the one who warms and guards her nest. She is our shepherd. She is our mother. She restores my soul and guides me along right pathways. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no more evil, for she is with me. Her rod and her staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the arms of the one who gave me birth forever. Amen.